Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Today we continue our series called Overcomers, We Are Well Able. Do you have someone in your life who just knows the right buttons to push to get a reaction from you? Recently on our weekend away with our young people, it was fascinating to observe the young guys just begin to banter and wind each other up and to see how they responded. I wonder in life, is there things that get you to react? For me, I think it's when I'm watching football matches sometimes, if I'm being honest, I begin to get a little bit agitated and respond or react when things don't go the way I'd like them to go. I even find myself reacting when I'm watching programs like Question Time. Sometimes I get really frustrated at some of the questions that get asked and even more so, some of the answers. What about some of those TV shows that maybe you've been following religiously? And there comes that point in the series where something just so far-fetched and unbelievable happens. And I find myself shouting at the TV, that would never happen. You know, in life there are lots of things that can cause us to react. Things that can just happen in our world that we have to be careful that we respond to in the right manner. In the Bible, we read about this occasion when Jesus is confronted by a woman who is desperate. She's desperate because her daughter is possessed with a demon, and she is suffering terribly. And she comes to Jesus and is calling on him and asking for help. But you would have thought that Jesus would have responded immediately. I wonder, could you put yourself in the position of this mother, helpless. She couldn't help her child. Maybe you found yourself in a position like that when something's happened to one of your kids and you've been desperate to fix that problem. For many of us as parents, that's probably our button. Something happens to our kids and we begin to react and we begin to, you know, that's our natural response. But Jesus responds by saying absolutely nothing. Seems a bit harsh because the disciples begin to say, come on, let's put her away. She's distracting us from what we're here to do. But she gets on her knees and cries out to Jesus and says these words, Lord, help me. Now you'd think this time that Jesus is going to immediately fix her problem. But he responds to that by saying something which seems strange. He says these words. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And Jesus is sharing the primary task for his role here on earth, but the lady doesn't disagree. But she continues, and she asks him for help and cries desperately, and Jesus responds by saying something else which seems a bit strange. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Is Jesus just call this lady a dog? Actually, what Jesus is doing is using a term that was used at that time to speak about people who were not Jews. But the lady is not put off by that. And she actually responds by saying, yes, it is right. She says, it's right that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And responding to that, Jesus says that this woman had great faith, and her daughter was immediately healed. It's one of those stories in the Bible that in first glance and first reading seems strange. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus was trying to provoke a response from this lady. He was trying to provoke a response to teach us a lesson today. See, this lady was an overcomer. She did not allow her natural circumstances to determine the outcome that she desired. And even though people try to keep her quiet, even though people try to keep her away from Jesus, she pushed in and she pressed in and she made her request known to Jesus. And she teaches us a great lesson here, that to be someone who is an overcomer, we don't allow the discouragement and the bleakness of our circumstances to determine who we're going to be, but we choose to be people of great faith. We want to look today at another hero in the Bible, someone who was an overcomer. Her name is Hannah. Now, Hannah had lots of reasons to be someone who lived a life of discouragement. She could have had a pity party that never ended. Hannah's story is that she was unable to conceive. She had a husband that she had to share with someone else. And that someone else could conceive children. And every year when they went to the tabernacle to bring their sacrifices to the Lord, the Bible tells us that her rival would provoke her, so much so that it irritated her so much that she would weep bitterly. Think about that. A journey that should have been of celebration, of worship to God, was a journey of pain for Hannah. And on this occasion, when she gets to the tabernacle, she goes to pray, and her priest doesn't even understand the pain and the anguish that she's going through. But Hannah shows us through her response how we too can be people who are overcomers. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read together from verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here, and of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. Hannah had good reasons for staying in a place of discouragement and being self-pitied. But she made a choice that she was not just going to react to her circumstances and to her feelings, but she was going to respond in the correct manner. You see, she realized that it's natural for us all to react to certain things in our lives. We've all got feelings, we've all got emotions, and I'll be honest with you, I've found myself, even just this week, things have happened that I have found myself reacting rather than responding. And even in this situation, that she found herself in a place where she had to come to that point where she chose to respond, not to react. You know, provoking means to stimulate action. And great teachers and managers will use this to see growth in their students and in their team players. They'll find the right buttons to push. They'll find what it takes to be able to get a reaction from those that they are trying to grow and to develop. And likewise, in our journeys with God, God often uses or allows circumstances to provoke action, to provoke us to respond, to grow and to mature in our relationship and in our understanding of who God is. Hannah's relationship with God was not based on outcomes or how she felt. It was based on her understanding of who she knew that God is. Can I ask you this morning, is your relationship with God built or based upon the outcomes, the circumstances in your life? Hey, when things are going great, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When things are going not so good, where is God? Oh, it must be all his fault. No, Hannah wasn't like that. She knew who God really was. And even when the outcome maybe wasn't where she wanted to be in that point, she still turned to God in prayer. She demonstrates that overcomers respond with God's help rather than just react to their feelings. That's what we see here. Hannah's prayer is probably what she is most well known for. That she prayed with passion. She was honest. She was completely transparent before God. Rather than giving up and losing hope because she hadn't yet seen the outcome that she desired, Hannah goes to the tabernacle to pray. And how Hannah prays reveals to us that she's an overcomer. See, she is completely honest before God. And at a first reading, you'd think, is she bargaining with God here? Is she trying to do a deal with God? You do this for me, and I'll do this for you. No, she is being completely honest. Honest with her desire to honor God, but also honest for her desire to have a son. Now, this son would not be any other son. The son that Hannah would give birth to is Samuel. And Samuel is born at the right time and the right moment. Not just in Hannah's story, but in the story of a nation. See, at this moment, they are going through a transition. A transition which would lead them to Samuel anointing their first king. Samuel's the one who hears from God, anoints Saul, but then afterwards anoints the next king, David. Samuel's the one they say that none of his words ever fell to the ground. Hannah's prayer reveals that her desire was to honor God. See, overcomers, when we pray, we recognize that prayer is not first and foremost about outcomes, it's actually more to do about what's going on inside of us. Hey, you've maybe heard it said, prayer changes things. And I agree, prayer is a powerful weapon. But what I also say is probably the most important thing that God wants to change is us. And first of all, before God changes our outcomes, he wants to change us. Before God can work through you, he wants to do a work in you. Before God turns everything around in your world, he really wants to change you. He wants to do that work within you. And we see that in Hannah's life. She comes to the tabernacle. She is weeping. She is downcast. And when she leaves, she is a different person because she has been honest with God in prayer. Now, you can be honest with God in prayer. Just read the Bible, read the Psalms. They were honest before God about how they felt. And we have that privilege that we can be honest with God, but we should also be wise enough to wait for God to be honest with us and to listen to what he wants us to do. See, that's a privilege. You can share your desires with God, but we must wait to hear his desires for us. So she responds with prayer. And she comes to this place where she leaves her problem with God. She takes the challenge that she faces. She's unable to give birth. She's unable to fix that problem. She gives it to God, leaves it with Him. And maybe you're watching me today and you've got a circumstance or a situation in your world that you are unable to fix. Can you leave that with God today and trust Him that He will firstly do a work in you and trust Him with the outcome? She responds with prayer. And afterwards, things are different. The Bible tells us she returns home and soon enough she conceives a son and gives birth to Samuel. And after that child is raised, she takes him back to the tabernacle. Now just think about that journey. Remember the previous ones? She wept bitterly as her rival provoked her. But on this occasion, I am certain Hannah had a smile on her face as she brought along to the tabernacle her boy Samuel. See, she also comes back and she teaches us another lesson about overcomers. Not only do they respond rather than react, and they respond with prayer and prayers that allow God to change us first, she also remembered the promise. She remembered the promise that she had made. God, the Bible tells us, the Lord remembered her, but Hannah also remembered the Lord. See, Hannah returns to the tabernacle and presents to God that which meant the most to her son Samuel. And in doing so, she's not giving him up. She's just returning him to who gave her. She's actually making a statement here that her life and her future was dedicated to God. And I actually think she was reaffirming that promise, because when she prayed and wept bitterly to begin with, her heart revealed that her life and her future was dedicated to God. She remembered the promise that she had made. I'm sure we've all said things and we've all asked God for His help, and maybe you've made commitments to God previously. And to be honest, every time we come together online, we give everybody an opportunity and ask them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And often I'll say at the end of that, Lord, help me to follow You all the days of my life. That's a promise. And if we're being honest, sometimes we've got that in the forefront of our minds. We're following You every day. Other times we just maybe just do our own thing. Hannah remembered the promise that she had made. Are you remembering the promises that you have made to God? To honor Him in all your ways. To be like Hannah, who when she came and brought an offering to the Lord, she gave her best. It wasn't comfortable. It was a sacrifice. She gave her all. See, overcomers, they give to God knowing what He has already done for them. Hannah remembered the Lord. The Lord remembered Hannah. But when we read about Samuel, we learn that later in his life, he returns to Ramah. That's where his family were from. That's where Hannah was from. And when he returns there, I wonder, what did Samuel remember? Did he remember about the time his mother told him about their journey and how she'd waited so long for a child and she prayed to God? And you're the answer to that. Did he remember the faithfulness of God to his parents? And did he remember what God had done through his life? This is Remembrance Sunday. We've all gathered together to remember those that have given their lives for our freedom. And we've paid our respects today in a moment's silence. But today I want to encourage you to return once again, just as Hannah returned to the house of the Lord with Samuel, and we can return to God today. And we can remember His goodness. We can remember what He's already done for us. We can remember His promises towards us. We can remember what He has done. We remember the sacrifice that He made for us. He didn't hold anything back. He gave His all. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I wonder if you're watching me right now and you've never made a decision to make Jesus your Lord, to make him your Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. And as I've just mentioned, it means a simple prayer of commitment. It sounds a little bit like this. So can you just repeat this after me? So, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world. I recognize I'm a sinner. I realize that you died for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to connect with you and help you. So please reach out to us. But for everyone watching me today, I want to encourage you to be someone who lives the life of an overcomer, who, like the woman who we spoke about at the beginning, did not just react or dwell in her disappointment, discouragement, and self-pity, but she responded to Jesus, and her response demonstrated great faith. To be like Hannah, who did not react to her feelings and emotions, but came to a place where she chose to respond with great faith. To be someone who prays and allows God to change us first, and we remember what God has already done for us, so that we can live lives that, regardless of the challenges we face, we can choose to be overcomers. I want to pray for you today that God will enable you, empower you to live the life of an overcomer. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are working within every believer. Lord, I pray that you give them the strength, the courage, everything that they need to be people of great faith, to be people that are overcomers, that are more than conquerors. Lord, I pray, Lord, that for those who find themselves in circumstances right now that are challenging, and Lord, they find themselves reacting, Lord, I pray today they would respond in faith, that they would come to you in prayer, that they would be honest in their prayers, and Lord, they would be changed in those moments of prayer with you. Help us, Lord, to honor you in every area of our lives. Lord, that we will see the victory as we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.